Good morning, Wayne. We will see you right here on this show at 11:30 Eastern, as always on Fridays for Wayne's World. But right now it is time to skip the BS, time for Undisputed, time to talk about the hottest story in sports, time to talk Caitlin Clark and the women's Final Four tonight and Sunday. Yep, I said women's Final Four. We are leading Undisputed, delving deeply into women's college basketball because it is the biggest story in sports, much bigger than the men's Final Four. We will get to the Warriors and to the Sixers and to the Clippers. We will get to the latest information on Rashee Rice and that situation and what I thought was stunning news about a rework contract for Stephon Diggs. But first up, I am joined by Keyshawn Johnson and Paul Pierce to talk Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and Dawn Staley's 36-0 South Carolina team, heavily favored to win it all. Morning, Key and Truth.
Morning.
How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
All right. Before we get to whether Caitlin Clark can lift Iowa past UConn and South Carolina and validate her all-time scoring record with the championship, let's discuss why ticket prices are more than twice as high for the women's Final Four than the men's. Keyshawn, your thoughts on this development?
Well, I think it, first of all, it's major intrigue. You got to start there. You got a couple stars that's playing. You got a South Carolina team that's undefeated.
Undefeated.
That won a championship.
It almost seems like it's off radar,
yeah, right?
Right?
Well, because they're so heavily favored.
Yeah.
So the matchup in the story now is Paige Becker versus Caitlin Clark, Iowa versus UConn. Then the story will be, can whoever that is, assuming South Carolina doesn't get upset by the Cinderella story.
I'm going to assume that does not happen.
North Carolina State, that the story will then be, can Paige Becker or Caitlin Clark beat an undefeated South Carolina team led by Dawn Staley, da-da-da-da. That'll
and
be the
I will
whole
tell
story.
You, if it is Caitlin versus South Carolina, that's going to be a bombshell rating. Yeah, that could break the latest watch. Record.
Yeah, that will break it.
It will be a bombshell watch, but also Geno versus Dawn Staley and their back and forward that they've had over the years.
Yep.
Just all those little storylines is why the intrigue is there. Plus, men's college basketball, I don't even know one.
I know DJ Burns.
I don't know one player.
He's in the Final Four. That's about it.
You know Zach Edey, the producer, he's the player of the year. Okay, but he's kind of off radar.
That's it. I couldn't tell you right now.
His game is not flashy. I can't watch.
I couldn't tell you.
The star of the UConn men's team is the head coach, Dan Hurley, because he's a Hurley.
That's it.
Because he's Bobby Hurley's brother, right?
That's it. I have no idea about any of the dudes playing in
this. I understand.
And that's just the reality of it. I have no interest in men's college basketball at the level where it's appointment. This, on the other hand, is appointment for me because if SC had somehow gotten to the Final Four, I would have figured out a way to get there to watch them play.
You would have gone.
Yes, not only because it's my university, but I'm also interested in it.
Well, you're interested in one star who's just a freshman who looks like she is going to be something.
There's nothing in men's college basketball. They're not talking about any of the players. They just don't.
No.
They don't talk about it.
No. I watched the Final Eight game, the LSU game and Iowa game. I watched that like it was a national championship game.
I understand.
And you and I'm thinking, can they get any better than this? And then I look up and you got UConn, one of the most historic programs ever. With Paige, obviously, Becker, who's had a great, great year, probably one of the top five players. I mean, she is a top five player. And then Caitlin with this historic run. And then I look on the other side, you got undefeated South Carolina, who got upset by Iowa a year ago. It's just too many story plots for me not to watch this. I mean, obviously, I think we all want to see probably Iowa and South Carolina, because what Iowa did to South Carolina last year, people don't even know if you do, they put them out, they ended their undefeated season. And so, however it goes, I mean, we overlook at NC State, but they've been great. And so, either way, however it goes, I'm tuning in. I mean, there's just too many variables to this that have great storylines, and the star power is there. You got LeBron talking about it. You know, that's gauging the interest.
Yeah. Oh, the GOAT.
He mentioned it.
Wait,
talking about the girl.
Oh, yeah.
He mentions it.
Yeah.
And so if I was available, I would fly out there now and get a ticket because it's just that interesting to me. I mean, me and Key right now talking about where we going to go watch this game.
I heard you before the show, and I was like, man.
I'm going to go watch the game.
Man, think of what we're doing here. You're talking about where you're going to watch the women's game.
Trying to figure it out.
Okay. And so that level of interest is not only myself, but people who've never even watched the girls' game that just only concentrate on the men's game are going to tune in. So they're constantly getting new followers. And a lot of this has to do with the teams. Caitlin Clark, obviously, what she's done to the game of college basketball, elevated to the level it's at with her performances. I'm excited. I mean, after the last game, I couldn't even breathe right. My adrenaline was flowing. I was just like, there's more to go. And so I can't wait.
$2,300 on an average for the women's game, twice as much as the men's game on the resale market. So if that's the case, then there's some tickets that's out there that's, you know, $5,000 and $6,000.
You got that right.
Is like interesting.
Yeah. All right. Allow me to date myself because I have been a women's basketball fan for a long, long time. I go clear back to what was called the WBL back in my days in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Just mainly because my next door neighbor was named Nancy Lieberman. She was called Lady Magic. She was the first pick in the draft by the Dallas Diamonds. And she would go up against Machine Gun Molly Bolin and Carol Blaze Jowski. And they could ball. Trust me, they could ball. And then I always watched the women, but there have been many, many years when the men were more interesting just because of the star power. And right. I know how we look at it. We want to project who's going to be big at the next level, who's going to dominate the next level, who's going to be impactful at the next level. So that's mainly why I watch the men, unless I have, as Key points out, some rooting interest in Oklahoma or where I went to school at Vanderbilt or whatever. If you have some Kansas Jayhawk rooting interest, then that's a whole different ball game. All right. Then we get to star power and we get to Caitlin Clark. What is the intrigue with Caitlin Clark? I heard Gino talking yesterday about it takes personalities. Well, Caitlin does not have a huge personality to me. She's not a scintillating interview. She's not a quote-unquote character. She's a nice personality, but her interviews are pretty cut and dry. They're pretty cliche-ridden. She says all the right things, but I can't remember anything she says because she's not a quote machine. Mm-hmm. So she's not doing it with her personality, and certainly she's not doing it with any storylines off the court. She's doing it with simply this. We've never seen anything like a female basketball player who goes Steph Curry because she is shooting jump shot logo threes. Jump shots, not set shots, not feet on the floor. She shoots pure Paul Pierce style jump shots from deep. Remember, the court's the same, so she's shooting logo threes. And the other night, like you, I'm on the edge of my seat. We all picked LSU. But every time she went up, I'd say, that's a bad shot.
Right.
That's a bad idea. And it went in. She made 9 out of 20. And it took all 9 of them to hold off an LSU team that I think I still believe to this moment LSU's just better than Iowa. But they didn't have one better player than that player who revolutionized college basketball doing that. And then, to your point, she's also got some John Stockton going on because she can flat pass the basketball. It's not sensational. It's not eye-popping. It's not behind the back, between the legs. But I think you guys sit back and say, that's legit. You know,
she makes the right play every time.
Yeah, right play and plays where you say, ooh, That's pretty special, you know, that to see that play and that bounce pass or that full court pass or whatever she pulls off, the combination of the logo threes plus the rare, to me, great passers come along like once a generation because you can't teach it, you can't coach it. You either see it or you don't see it. You can see it before it happens or you cannot. LeBron James is as gifted a passer as we've seen this side of Magic Johnson and John Stockton to me. Well, you can't. Nobody taught him. He just had it and he honed it, obviously. But she's got it. Maybe not quite to the LeBron level, but she's got two things operating where she can make her teammates better. And her teammates, to me, are average at best.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
All right. Okay. Now let's get to tonight. This is a story. You can argue UConn's the program in women's college basketball,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Maybe we can.
No, they are.
They
are.
Just are.
Tennessee kind of.
They had their.
They've been in Tennessee for a while, and Tennessee fell off.
Past Summit's time. Yep. All right. So now we got Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, UConn.
Geno.
Your prediction? Yeah, Geno. That's a good point, too.
I'm going to go with Geno and Paige.
Okay.
Over Iowa.
Because?
It's just something about her, number one, that I like.
You liked her, how she played against
USC. I just like how she moved, and it's just her all-around game. It just is something that I'm used to seeing, I guess. And they're good. He knows how to coach, number one. He's been in this position. He's won 11 of them, I believe that's the number, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
He's been in this position before, okay? He understands. She's back healthy. And I think for one,
by the way, she was the player of the year when she was a freshman.
Yeah. Her team overall, much like LSU's team overall, mm-hmm. is just better. I think they're just better than Iowa. He will not allow Caitlin Clark, in my opinion, to just be out there freelancing and doing what she wants like Kim Mulkey did. He saw that mistake that Kim made. Mm-hmm. He will not repeat that. That's just my little opinion. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I like UConn in this game.
Okay,
yeah.
Close.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be a blowout. They probably win by 4 or 5.
Key, I hear you and all. Like, I understand you got the history of UConn and Paige and all of this going for them, experience. They've been to the Final Four a couple years ago. But you got to understand, in the last 60-plus games that South Carolina's won, Caitlin Clark is the only one that beat them.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
They was in the national championship a year ago. Why aren't they the favorite? They've been there.
Oh, I think they
experienced
favorite, right?
Heartache. They beat LSU. They beat South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think this is a team of destiny.
Oh, that Iowa.
Iowa.
Yeah. No, they're favored tonight, but they wouldn't be favored over South Carolina.
Yeah, but they're the only team in 2 years to beat South Carolina.
They are.
They beat LSU, the defending national champs.
They did.
And I bet you a lot of bettors are putting money on UConn for the simple fact, the same reasons you're saying. But I'm going to go Iowa for the simple fact that they've had heartache. They've been there. They experienced that loss. They battle tested. And they're in the middle of one of the greatest runs
they are
in college basketball history. If they wind up beating LSU, they beat UConn and see South Carolina in the championship and beat them. Mm. What are we going to be saying about Caitlin Clark? Mm. We're going to get to that later.
Okay. Well, you know what we'd be saying. We'd have to.
Exactly.
All right. So I went against Caitlin Clark in Iowa against LSU. Mm-hmm. And I still can't believe that Iowa won the game. And I still can't believe, as you pointed up and I pointed out immediately the day after, right here sitting in this chair, that Kim Mulkey was so proud, haughty proud, that she said, you know what? We are the defending champs. We are LS freaking you. We don't bow down to anybody. We play defense the way we play defense. So I'm going to come out. I'm going to do it just like I would do it against any other best player on the other team. I'm going to put Haley Van Lith on her, our point guard on their point guard, and we'll just figure it out because we're better than they are, and we will dominate. And they dominated the boards. It was 54-36 on the backboards. Mm-hmm. And Haley Van Lith, who is now transferring, that's a whole nother story. We'll get to that with LSU fan Lil Wayne in a little bit, unless you guys, if you want to throw something out now. But the point is, she could not guard Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin got up 20 threes and made 9 of them, and that was the difference in the basketball game. Okay, so now I'm going to remind you one thing about Caitlin Clark. She is human, and she will every once in a while have one of those, you know, 2-for-15 kind of games. And if she has one of those in the next two, if they get to two games, if she goes 2-for-15 tonight, Paige Beckers will win this game because she is really good, and I remind everybody, Paige, coming out of high school, was the number one recruit that year, and Caitlin Clark was 4th on the list of recruits. So she's come a long way, and yet I love the way Paige competed against you guys the other night because she was, man, she will scratch and claw and fight and every last ounce, whatever she's got tonight. And I think she will enjoy being the underdog for once in that role against Caitlin Clark. Okay, so clearly, Iowa, to me, is a below-average team after Caitlin Clark.
I could just say that. Because they went to the national championship
because
last year.
Because
Kate Martin, to me, had the game of her life against LSU and had, what, she had 21, and she made that baseline fallaway jump shot in the fourth quarter. I said, I didn't think she had that in her.
They battle tested.
They are battle tested. They play great together, but it's all about Caitlin making them maximum better, right? Like she gets the max out of everybody, right? That's what she does best. That's mm-hmm. that's maybe her number one strength. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I like them to get by UConn tonight, but I also think Geno will flip the script, as you suggest. He's going to come out. How can you not? You have to dare those others mm-hmm. to beat you. You have to blitz Caitlin. You have to trap Caitlin. You have to double her as soon as she steps across half court. And as they do in the NBA, you take the ball out of her hands. Well, Kim Mulkey said after the game, well, everybody's tried that and nobody's succeeded at it. I don't know if they have.
When you look at the game and you watch the game against LSU, LSU did not trap her. They did not blitz her. They did not force her to her right. All of her threes essentially lined up on the left-hand side.
Yeah, and she's a creator. She creates it. She doesn't need to catch. She doesn't do Reggie Miller run or Steph run.
You know? You force her to the right,
yeah,
that's a different player. Everything that she's doing is pushed all the way to the left. But for some reason, they didn't push her to the right. They allowed her just to go to the left.
They did push her to the right, Key, but you know what she did when they pushed her to the right? She found a teammate for an assist.
Yeah.
When she drove down the right side, I saw the help. She drops it off to her other player at the free throw line for a jumper. When she drove right, she got to the basket. When she drove right, so she just picked them apart. It was like, all right, we're going to send you right. Don't think that they didn't, but she generated 12 assists from that, whether it was getting it out, throwing it ahead, or driving right.
Yeah, but you're not going to beat them with 12 assists. You're going to beat them 9.
That's minimum 12. 12 assists is minimum 24 points, depending on how many of those assists were threes.
Yep.
So she generated,
over
like 60-something points.
Tonight
she's not probably going to get 41. Most likely. Geno won't allow that, but if she does, my hat's off. She'll get 20-something points, but if she can manufacture 10 assists again, that'll be devastating. That'll be devastating because she's showing you she can still manufacture more points outside of her scoring. So that equals 40 points she manufactured. Now, the role players, a lot of them, I saw them make moves off the dribble. I didn't really see them like, here, get this layup. A lot of the role players, they went baseline jumper. Let me knock down this three. So they did a lot of their things one-on-one, too. I think a lot of the big players from Iowa benefited from that. The big girl that was off the bench and in and out, she
did. Oh, great.
She did. Mm-hmm. You know, she ran the court.
Yep.
She knocked down some shots. But
she
the
did.
Other two players, they kind of manufactured their own offense.
They did.
And so they're more than capable. They're not a number one seed for nothing, guys. This is more than the Caitlin Clark show.
Okay. No,
they beat South Carolina. You think just her? Last year, you think it was just her?
No.
They went to the national championship last year.
By the way, she had 40.
She's so polarizing. You think she's the only one on the team.
That is true. But she had 41 against South Carolina last year, and they won 77-73.
Right.
Okay.
She's going to have to go through a little bit of a gauntlet to get where she wants to be. Remember that as one of the all-time greatest players to ever play, whether it's men or women,
that is true.
College basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if she eclipsed that goal in the end, then you certainly could, as you would say, crown her as such.
Yeah.
But if she does it for some reason, that conversation is going to be, she scored a lot of points. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That
but
is
she
true.
Never got a chance to finish the deal.
Either way, she's in the conversation.
Yeah.
I guess. I'm sure there's going to be others out there on the women's side of basketball that will respect the fact that she's a scoring machine and a creator and all of those things. But you know, as I know, Paul, in the end, they look at that one thing when you're great. Did you win the chip?
Fact.
Right.
Did you win the chip?
In the 100%. End, 10 years from now, that's all you'll care about.
That's all they care about 100%. Is the chip.
All right.
And can she get through that gauntlet?
I say she gets through tonight's gauntlet. I say she loses to South Carolina just the way she should have lost to LSU. The star of South Carolina is Dawn Staley to me. And you can make a case she's the best coach in women's college basketball.
She actually shouldn't have lost to South Carolina because she beat them.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
LSU.
Iowa. Yeah, okay. She did. Yes, yeah. She did. All right. But the point is, you don't think South Carolina is going to be motivated off last year to get even, even though their team is not quite as good as it was last year, and they have struggled through this tournament. But Camila Cardoza is legit, serious, big, and I don't see how...
Don thinks the team is better this year than it was
last year. I don't think it was. But it hasn't played better than it did last year. It hasn't dominated, but it is a prohibitive favorite to win this tournament. And it will be favored fairly handily over Iowa if Iowa gets there. Yeah. And obviously if South Carolina gets there, and I'm pretty sure they will. But the point is, they're just going to be too big and physical for Iowa, but I thought LSU was. Right. I mean, how do you lose the boards 54-36 and win the game? It's almost impossible.
Well, Angel Reese couldn't even put the ball back in the rim either, though.
And she hurt
was getting the boards.
She turned.
But she couldn't
ankle.
Even put it back because her ankle was trash.
That is true. And she scored in the second? I think she had 2 points in the second half after she turned her ankle. So that was a big factor. So I'm going to go South Carolina wins it all. But I will be on the edge of my seat on Sunday if it's Iowa, South Carolina, and that will shatter the new ratings record, right?
Yep. I'm looking forward.
Okay, speaking of the NFL, this was surprising and interesting. Adam Schefter reports the Texans have reworked Stephon Diggs' contract. Bear with me on this. They've removed the final 3 years of Diggs' current contract. They'd have allowed him to become a free agent after next season. Houston also took his $3.5 million in guaranteed money in 2025 and moved it up a year to 2024. So that gives him a guaranteed total this coming year of $22.5 million. Pretty good payday. Diggs was originally under contract through 2027 because of a four-year $96 million extension that he signed with the Bills back in 2022. That included $70 million in guaranteed money. So the Texans did give up a second-round pick in 2025 for Diggs, who will now be able to hit free agency in 2025. So, Keyshawn, what does this reworking of Diggs' deal say about him and about the Texans?
Well, one, whenever you're traded to a team and there's compensation given at a certain level, the team is going to address your contract situation. May extend you. They're going to rework it to some degree.
I wonder if this was agreed upon before the trade was agreed upon.
Yeah, it usually is. Yeah it's usually agreed upon. They I know you're trading for me. We've got to do something to get the deal done. We agree in principle. Once the trade goes through, here's what we're going to do. And that's most likely with Stephon Diggs, that's what happened. He knew going to the Texans, this is what was going to be the number. They're going to take the 3.5 that's left in my guarantee money off the 2025 portion of the contract. They're going to bring it forward. They're going to push me up to where I need to be from a guaranteed money standpoint with in line with other top receivers. Because if you take out the $3 million, he's down now. There's other people. He's not as close to Tyreek and Devontae Adams and other guys that make this type of money. So you give him that $3 million, you push him up. You, as an organization, you get the best of both worlds, right? You get an opportunity to now have a motivated player that is going to be motivated to not necessarily do all the right things, because that's what people are going to say. Oh, he's going to do all the right things.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about doing all the right things. Just motivated to go out there and put his best foot forward and on his best behavior, as I would say, on the field to help a young player in C.J. Stroud excel. Now, you as an organization have a decision to make at the end of the year. If he lives up to the expectations of what you see, you don't mind saying,
okay,
we're going to give you 35 a year and we're going to give you $100 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Or you say, here's your market. Your market isn't where it should be. Mm-hmm. Well, coach, I barely got here. I don't know any of this. You only caught X amount of passes. You only scored this amount of touchdowns. We giving you a lot of opportunities. So he's taking a chance, but so are they. Because the second round pick is a lot to not have a guy in place with a contract. Mm. But you also probably could still franchise tag him and then talk to him during the franchise tag moment.
Yep.
It's a win-win for both sides. I think he will help elevate C.J. Stroud to a whole nother level.
I agree.
same kind of way he did with Josh Allen.
You can make a case.
You know, and you say, well, why would you not want to keep the 3 years intact if you are Stephon Diggs? Ain't no guaranteed money. That doesn't mean anything. They can cut me. I don't have any guaranteed money. So if you cut me versus letting me walk, you give people the notion that I'm no good.
Yeah.
If I leave in free agency because it didn't work out and I still had a good year, people could watch the film and say, oh, he still had an 1,100-yard season on 75 catches. He still scored 8 touchdowns. They only threw him the ball 30% of the time.
Yep.
All of those type of arguments are there for him, okay? They're not, they didn't trade for him to fail him. They traded for him to take them to the next level. Mm. This is the reason I got him sitting at number 2 in the AFC conference as of now, right behind Kansas City, slightly in front of Baltimore.
All right, I hear everything you just said, but I'm still a little surprised that Stephon would give up the security of the 3 years, even though you say you could cut him, but at least the salaries are in place if you want to keep him, keep him,
but
right?
But it's not guaranteed.
No, so it's not guaranteed, except year to year. If you're going to keep me, you're going to have to pay me X and Y and Z.
Yeah, but right? You're not going to have to pay me until I make the 53-man roster, which is from the start of the league year, which is typically, I think, at the end of February or the beginning of March, until September opening day roster.
Yeah.
So you still holding me up from March to opening day roster. You can do anything with me. Okay. Right. After free agency, you can cut me, and now I'm out in the streets butt naked.
Okay.
I don't want that for myself.
So the Texans greatly lessened their risk here because there's no long-term risk with Stephon Diggs. Is he going to work for us or not? It's a one-shot deal. It's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And then with Stephon, he'll be 31 going on 32. He can hit the open market. And if you have a 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard year, whatever, you could be good to go. But
yeah, but if he has the type of year that they anticipate him having, they're going to keep him pay him.
Unless he hits the lottery and he goes out on the market and finds somebody else who'll pay him $40 million. I don't know.
Usually when you're in these type of situations, you're not looking for, you know, if your team, much like a Baker Mayfield situation, if your team is willing to give you a certain number, you're happy. Because you don't want to just be moving around, chasing the money. You don't want, he doesn't need to do that. Kid that made a ton of money, he's chasing winning a championship to solidify who he is as a player.
Yeah, I do like it, and I agree with you. It's a win-win because he still gets 22.5 this coming year, which is pretty good. Again,
yeah, he was going to get 22. See, okay, look at it this way, Skip. He was going to get the 22.5 regardless in a 12-month calendar year.
But they moved it.
They just gave it to him 9 months early.
Yep,
he was going to get it anyway because it's guaranteed on the 2025 salary, only $3.5 million of that. So they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give it to you on your last guaranteed season. We're going to raise that number up to 22.5 million.
Yep.
We're going to allow that to take place. So you essentially are on a one-year deal because those other 3 years, they're voidable. That means nothing.
Mm.
It means absolutely nothing. It's just fluff years on the back end of something.
But the Buffalo Bills gave him in 2022 $70 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
That is why Buffalo just had to eat $30 million in dead cap money. That's how badly they wanted to get out from under Stephon. We'll eat that. And you got that from us, but thank you very much and good riddance. We're onward and upward because they're going to choose their quarterback and they think their quarterback was more important than their receiver. And you had no problem with that.
None
and you
all.
Think it's sort of win-win for both teams
start over. I don't want to be here anyway. I don't want to play with him. We've been dancing around in circles for 2 years now.
Yeah.
So move me. You can have your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
See what life is going to be without me.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk to me then. And that was his approach.
Yeah.
Talk to me when the year is over with. Let's see who goes further. Let's see if Buffalo is in the same position as the Houston Texans when the season ends. I doubt it. That's just me. I doubt it.
Well,
because you got Miami, the New York Jets, which is fully stocked now.
Yep.
All they got to do is just stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see see what Buffalo is.
Okay. You know Brandon Bean.
Uh-huh.
I listen, I was watching him yesterday in his little press session he did. He was almost angry committed, like, watch this, watch what we do, because we are very competitive here, and they have been a very good organization. I'm not sure they can replace Stephon Diggs immediately, but over time, they think they'll be a little better off their chemistry, their unity.
That may be true,
yep.
But nobody's talking about in the future.
No.
They're talking about right now.
There's no doubt.
Buffalo Bill fans, they don't want to talk about 2028. They want to talk about 2024. Where are we going to be in September 24, and where are we going to be in January 25?
Okay.
Are we going to be at home, or are we going to be in an AFC Championship game? Like, what are we doing here?
Okay. But I'm going to remind you again, Tyreek fetched from Miami a first, a second, what was it, 2 fourths and a sixth.
It was like
ridiculous haul.
Yeah, but that's Miami.
Okay.
Miami was willing to give that up because they
And pay him.
And pay him because that's what they wanted. They were looking for that type of player.
Yeah.
Okay, they had Jalen Waddle, but they wanted to, their whole mission was speed kills. And if we can put a track meet on the field, nobody will be able to stay with us.
Okay.
Well, that happened for a little bit. They were a high-flying scoring machine. But they couldn't stop anybody.
No.
And then when the weather turned, they couldn't do certain things when the weather turned. Tyreek Hill is phenomenal. And you point to Stephon Diggs not being able to get the same compensation in return. Well, I'm not going to give you the same compensation in return because, one, I don't have to have him. Number two, you don't really want him. So if I know you don't really want him.
And obviously, Brandon Bean talked to a whole bunch of teams other than the Texans.
Yes.
Right?
And I already know you don't really, 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 really want him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what, I'll give you a three.
Okay.
Oh, no, I don't want a three. I'll take a two. Tell you what, I'll give you a two, plus I'll send Stephon to you and a sixth rounder and a fifth rounder in this year and next year's draft, and you just give us back a two.
Whew. Whew.
That's a good
and
trade.
And Davante Adams goes to the Raiders, and Green Bay gets back a first and a second. That's a haul, man. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Okay.
But the Raiders in that particular crew, I think it was Josh McDaniels, and I can't even think of the general, Zegler or whatever, the general manager, that's what they wanted, so they gave that up. They were able to get that.
Yeah.
Where other teams probably was like, we're not giving up a one for Davante Adams. But they did. And they gave him a new deal because that's what they wanted.
Okay, do I think Stephon's on the same level as Tyreek and Davante Adams? I do not. Is he in the next tier of receivers? Yes.
But see, the next tier would be six on down. I see him in the top five for sure.
Mm.
I see him in the top five for sure. You got a CeeDee Lamb, you got a Davante Adams, you got a Tyreek Hill, a healthy Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase. They're all kind of...
Ayuk is somewhere up there?
He's not them yet.
No.
Those dudes, he's there. It's the flavor. What do you like? Right? He's in that mix. But he hasn't done it consistently as long as those guys have. Okay? Justin Jefferson hadn't slowed down until he got hurt. Okay?
No.
Jamar Chase hadn't slowed down until he got hurt.
True.
Or his quarterback got hurt, better yet.
Other than that,
those guys have been consistent as long as possible. IU really just, he had a nice 1,000-yard season a year ago, but he just finally really come into his own this past season where you look at him, you go, I think we could do something with him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
All I know for sure is the Houston Texans fandom is on fire right now because they got Stephon Diggs.
They should be.
All I know is the locker room has to be on fire with excitement and anticipation because, wait, we got him?
Man, it's all about your environment and your culture.
Yep.
Okay? He was in Buffalo. His personality and who he is, that may not be for Buffalo.
No, it's not.
It's not.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
Totally agree.
He's in Houston, Texas. Okay, he got an ex-player as his head coach who understands his personality. Okay, with a whole bunch of brothers.
True.
That, they get it.
That is
it's
true.
It's different. They welcome that. They welcome that type of attitude where everything isn't a pushback every time you say something.
You know, Sean McDermott is old school.
It's different. It's not a bad person. I like Sean. And I love Brandon, but in the end, certain players' personalities only fit certain places, because it's just, That's how it is. It's so many different religions and cultures and backgrounds in a locker room. That's why a locker room is the best place on earth. People don't really even understand that. You learn a lot about a lot of different people.
Dude.
But at the same time, in certain sections of our country, certain things are tolerated or looked at differently. That's just the way it is, whether it's sports or not.
Houston's a great town.
If for him, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what? It is tropical. The sort of the climate is tropical. It stays pretty warm all year.
Yeah.
So he's going to love the difference in Houston.
And he's been
Minnesota and Buffalo.
They're young and they're exciting and they've got that snack, crackle, pop and a lot of swag on their team. He falls right in the line with them.
Well, way to go. All right. Win. Okay, we got breaking news next. Bronny James, no surprise to me, has declared for the NBA draft and we react. By the way, that Lil Wayne song you just heard as we went to break is called Bless, and it's just out now. And Wayne, congratulations for that. I know you are proud of it.
Yo. Thank you.
Way to go. Okay, back to the breaking news of the moment. Bronny James declares for the 2024 NBA draft, for this year's draft. Wayne, good idea on Bronny's part?
Man, it's a great idea, man. It's an awesome idea. It was all about when you was going. It was all about when you're going. But you already know he's going. If that's a decision he make, he's going to the NBA. You ain't got to worry about that.
Okay. And what would it mean to you as a Laker fan to see LeBron and Bronny on the court at the same time?
Me as a basketball fan, as a fan of sports, and also as a father, and as a father of three sons. Period. What? What? I've already, you know, my beautiful daughter, she's the oldest, just already got to, you know, live out certain experiences with her. And just to see LeBron James on a court with Bronny and actually playing in a real game, that, come on now, come on. That would be so motivating to any father around the world, any man, any female, any, that's just motivation, period. That's family on the court. That's family on the court. You can't explain that no better than that.
You know, if whether or not it's with the Lakers or another NBA team, much like Wayne is saying, it would be a sight to see. I mean, obviously, we saw it in baseball with Griffey and his father. I don't remember it. Bonds missed. Yeah,
we
so
play
we
together,
saw,
but Bobby was always there.
Yeah, Bobby was always there. But we saw.
Didn't he play in the All-Star game?
Yeah, I guess he did.
May have. But we've seen Griffey and them do it, right? That's the one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. But for LeBron, whether it's the Lakers or somewhere else, if the Lakers ultimately pass on the opportunity, it, much like Paul Pierce seems to think that the Lakers dynasty you didn't call it dynasty, you called it era of winning a championship would be over with this year if they for somehow don't get there. If they don't make the playoffs, that it's over with. Then for LeBron to say, or the Lakers to say, we get ready to blow this whole thing up and start afresh, and for LeBron to take his talents on the road again, and that particular organization would acquire his son via the draft or free agency, I'm all with it. Whatever he needs to do to play with his son, I bless it.
Mm. Yeah, LeBron stated he wanted to play with him. But as I sit back and really think about the situation, you know, as a young man trying to make your own name and grow up, he may come to a decision to say, no, you know what, I want to be on a different team.
Too late.
I want to be on a different team.
Too late.
But think about this, Keith. Wayne, think about this. We would love to see LeBron get the rebound, kick it ahead, or throw it lob to Bronny. But what about this scenario where you got Bronny James Jr. on the right isolation wing against his dad?
Check up,
right? I think I may want to see that. I want to see if he can get a bucket on his dad or something. I think so. Either way you look at it, I think it's a win-win. I mean, it's going to be a national televised game either way. If he's with the Lakers, he's going to play some. He's not going to play some based on where the team is at and how they're doing. But wouldn't it be nice to say, all right, Bronny James, clear out the right side. Dad, check up. Let's go get it. I might want to see that.
And then Dan might say, don't worry about it, he with us.
Think about that, though. I might want to see that even more than them playing together.
So, Wayne, you've been around Bronny. I only know him from a distance, and I've said many times on television, this kid was born with an extreme burden. He was LeBron James Jr., and no kid could have ever handled that expectation, that responsibility, lived up to it the way this kid had. He is so mature beyond his years. He is ready to play pro basketball alongside or even opposite his father. However that may be, he can handle it. He can live up. That's the young man you've seen, right, Wayne?
Well, it's also, too, I've heard you speak about his defense. And his defense is crazy.
It's crazy.
I believe that he can.
That's what he does.
And yeah. Also, he's a hustler, too, Skip. He plays, he's one of those guys that just plays hard. You know, like, those guys last long in any league. He just plays hard.
Yeah. And when we saw him 1 year ago in the McDonald's game, he was making spot-up threes. I think he made three big ones in the second half, and then he goes to Keyshawn School, and he forgets how to shoot the three. But he was coming off his heart condition. He only shot 27% from three. But I promise you, as a pro basketball player, especially if he's alongside his father, if his father kicks it to him for an open three, he'll make those threes. That's just what he does. Yeah,
that'll be fun. That'll be good for the league.
I forgot about the heart situation. He's also a brave young man.
He's just a brave young man
out there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Wayne, would you attend more Laker games if it became Bron and Bronny?
What? With my sons right there with me.
Ooh, he would be. You know, Cam.
Yeah, you already know.
He would already know. So, quick thought on the Lakers that you see right here, right now. Are you projecting them to at least get to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, it's going to be Lakers versus Phoenix in the finals.
Phoenix? Whoa. Yeah. So, yeah. Phoenix is going to get Denver?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really? Why is that?
I think they meshing at the right time, and I think they playing possum right now. They're hearing what everybody's saying about. They thought it was going to be this, and they thought it was going to be that. I think they about to show it what it's going to really build. I think they get it all together. I like everything about it.
Wait, if Golden State plays the Lakers in the play-in, the 9-10, who you got? Who you think comes out of that?
You serious, Tom?
Don't even ask.
Golden State is rolling right now, though.
He's trying to figure out get rid of LeBron and the Lakers.
I ain't say that. I'm saying right now they're both in the 9th.
Say it.
That's the 9th, and that's the play-in spot right there today. So if they play each other the way Golden State is playing and the way Lakers is playing, you think the Lakers get past Golden State to make?
I love you, man.
No, I'm saying
anything.
Curry is rolling. Klay's back in the starting lineup. Draymond looking like Draymond, and that young kid over there. What's the young kid that's ducking everything now? Jackson.
Yeah.
Man, they looking nice.
Paul, you just fear the Lakers against the Celtics. That's what you fear.
No, no.
Yes, you do.
You literally have tried to discount the Lakers and LeBron.
I just said.
Since you started the show.
I just asked if the Lakers played the Warriors, who you got? Because I'm looking at the Warriors, and I look at the Lakers. They both playing well, and I don't know. I don't know anymore. I'm confused.
I'm going with the team with the better player.
Who got the better player?
LeBron's the better player.
And Curry?
Right now?
Right now?
Right. He's 40 years old.
I don't know about that.